Bibles, I'd like for you to open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews, chapter 13. A lot going on. We need to be praying for our world, our country, our nation, our communities, our churches, preachers. You need to be praying for preachers. I really need to be praying for preachers, because I are one. And I know we stand in great need for prayer. Listening to things on the news, I'm telling you. Somebody says, I don't listen to the news because it depresses me. Well, it don't me. It gives me hope that the Lord's coming soon. And I try to listen to the news, keep up with what's going on. You know, we need to. How can we be a good citizen if we don't know what's going on in our country and things like that? But we need to keep up with what's going on. And I won't bore you with the news this morning, but there's a lot of news out there. And don't believe everything you hear, right? Don't believe every preacher you hear. Make sure he's got the Bible in front of him. Make sure he's got the English Bible, the King James Bible, in front of him. Authorized 1611 version of, or the Bible. It's the Bible. And the other books are just book. They're not Bibles. You can count on that. You can sure count on that. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 13. Then we're going to work our way back to the Old Testament. Just going to read one verse in Hebrews 13. End of the message. We'll come back, Lord's willing, to Hebrews 13. You can hold your places there. Hebrews 13, verse number 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We have an altar. Now, I'd like you to look in your Bibles back to the book of Leviticus. And I would like to call your attention to some verses here for the next few minutes, some scriptures here concerning our reason for praise. There's been one offering of Jesus Christ, and that's where we meet, at the cross. We can't get any further with God till we come by the cross. But we do, He's the sacrifice, supreme sacrifice, the only sacrifice for our salvation. But there's at least two sacrifices that we need to make, not four. We might talk about them later. Now, in the book of Leviticus, we have what we call the offerings that are set up. God gave them Mosaic offerings for the law, and each one of them represent Jesus Christ. Each one of the offerings that are represented in Leviticus and Exodus and the other parts of the Pentateuch, they all picture Jesus, but they're only pictures. And a picture can't do nothing. You have to have the person, the substance. Jesus is the substance, not the shadow. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the Old Testament Mosaic law and everything contained therein was just a shadow of Him that was to come. A shadow can't help you. And a lot of people are worshiping shadows today. A lot of people have altars that mean nothing. Now, we just read a verse where it says they have no right. All you hear in the world today is my rights, my rights. But God's put restrictions on something. He says, they that serve the tabernacle, and you might as well say the law, those religions that are trying to get eternal life through the law, they have no right to eat at this table. They have no right at this altar that you and I share. God's restricted that. A lot of people say, as long as you believe, you'll be okay. Just got to believe something. That's crazy. I get in my car and I say, I'm going to fly to Mexico with it. Yeah, I can just believe that car will fly on. And sometimes it does seem like it's flying. I remember that old boy, whatever his name, Josh Barnes. He said his life would come before his eyes when we had to get over there to center and get back in a real hurry one time. And, you know, I'm not bragging about that, but later on he said my life, my whole life would come before my eyes. But you can, that little car's got a dead center of gravity. It'll hold the road. So anyway, what I'm saying is they have no right. But we have an altar that they have no right. Now in Leviticus, we have these offerings that are mentioned. There's several of them. And we're not going to talk to you about all of them, only specify three. Two primarily represent Jesus Christ. And then in Hebrews, there's an altar or a sacrifice that you and I are responsible for. If you'll keep that in mind, all these Old Testament sacrifices represent Jesus, all these offerings. And in the New Testament, there's two that we're responsible for. Now, the first offering that we're going to talk about for a moment is the burnt offering. And the burnt offering is seen in chapter 1 and also referenced in chapter 6. This is the burnt offering. Now, in chapter 1 of Leviticus, verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord called unto Moses, spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even the herd, the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice," so he's talking about a burned sacrifice, literally burned up. "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." Now, when you went into the tabernacle, when you're going in the door of the tabernacle, the very first thing that you saw was a brazen altar. It was made out of brass. I think it was acacia wood too, but it was an altar. And I ain't got time to go over all these scriptures, but you're just going to have to read it for yourself. But it was a place, it had a grate. Does anybody know what a grate is? You know what a grate and a wood heater? We got an Ashley wood heater with a grate in it. And you got grates on your barbecue pits and grills. You go out there to a park, you go to these city parks, and they're going to have these brick grills with a grate on them. And they're usually, you know, you need to clean them up before you use them, but and there's ashes down there, and there's been a fire, and there's been something cooked on it. But on this burnt offering, that's where actually things are burned, on this burnt sacrifice. You see the altar first. That's the first thing. They couldn't get any further. They could not get any further into the tabernacle, which represents the presence of God, which represents the salvation of God to us, until we go by a burnt sacrifice. You know what the burnt sacrifice represents? Is the cross. You got to start at the cross. No salvation unless you go by the cross of Christ. Now there it says, here's what it says. It says, and this is very simplified. This is not deep theology, because you're not looking at Mr. Deep. You're looking at Mr. Shallow. But this is deep. And there are people and preachers that can really expound upon this in very more detailed. But all I can do is get the high places. And that's what we're trying to do today. And the first altar that they came to, the first sacrifice was at the brazen, brazen altar, and it represented a burnt sacrifice. And he shall, here's what it says in verse number 3, "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd," now watch, he's bringing that offering. Okay? He's bringing it. Verse 2 says, "Ye shall bring your offering of the cattle." It's something he brought. Now, Cain brought vegetables, but Abel brought a lamb. So you got to bring the right sacrifice. And it says this here, it says, "of his own voluntary will" in verse 3. It's not something you can push somebody into. It's not something you can demand. God doesn't even demand. God says it's your will. You make up your mind that you're going to bring. That's what these people did. They had the opportunity of their own voluntary will to bring that sacrifice, which would be a burnt offering, which is a picture of Jesus. To them, everything here was a picture. Jesus was literally cooked on the cross and burnt on the cross and tormented and suffered the flames of hell on the cross. He suffered it all on the cross. And it's a voluntary. Don't push little kids. You can't push nobody. The most impressionable and convincing of anybody ever is a little child. And you go, and that's why they say, never trust children, a stranger giving you candy. They trust. They believe. They can be pushed into just about anything. Don't do it. Galileo is Galileo's son in Veracruz. He's 10 years old, and I can't believe. I remember when Galileo was just kids, my children met him. Y'all remember Galileo? He's got a wife, Nancy, and two children, a boy and a little girl. He's 10 years old, and they have Bible altar. They have family altar and reading their Bible every day in their home. I've been there through the years time and time again. And Chabello goes periodically, maybe once a week, to help a little cottage prayer meeting with them, and they read the Bible, and they've never pushed that boy named Galileo. But I'll tell you what he did. He came to them and wanted to be saved. And now he wants to be baptized. And when you get saved, then you need to get baptized to identify with Christ. Not to be saved, but to identify with the church and with the body of Christ and with Jesus. I want to just let you know the own voluntary will. I remember when I turned 18, I had to go register down at the courthouse or federal building, wherever it was. I registered for the draft. That was demanded. It wasn't no voluntary military back then. It said they called your number, you went. I remember when I was signed up, I'd been accepted to go to Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, and I was so ready to go, and I had to sign up at the same time, sign for the draft, and a lot of times I wish I'd have went ahead and just joined, but I probably believe I've been out of the will of God, but anyway, I went to sign up, and I said, now I'm not trying to get out of this, but I'll be in Chattanooga for 4 years, and I won't be living in Route 4 Piedmont. And they said, if we need you, we'll know where to find you. I said, I understand. Voluntary. Who would not want to just volunteer and say, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But you got to go by the brazen altar. You got to go by the altar that represents Jesus. You got to go by there. Now, I really do like this, because this is the offering, and then you've got the law of the offering in chapter number 6. You got the law. You got the offering represented. You got a guy saying he's bringing whatever, and it was so simple. You say, well, I can't afford to be saved. Did you know that if you couldn't bring a lamb, you couldn't bring this or that. It worked its way all the way down to a little turtle dove, a little sparrow. That's all you'd have to bring is a little sparrow, and they're everywhere. And that little sparrow would have to die. They'd wring its neck, shed its blood. And if you couldn't find a sparrow, you could bring a little bit of meal, just representing it. Just a little bit of, get you a piece of corn, grind it up. So you can't afford to be saved. You cannot afford not to be saved. Chapter 6. Well, I really do like this. The law, the burnt offering is the law. It's emphasized in chapter 1. It's shown, and then it tells the law. Verse 8 of chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, command Aaron and his sons, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, his linen breeches, and and put upon his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garment and put on the other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp. You remember, well, I won't say that, I'll just keep moving. The ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order. And he shall burn there the fat of the peace offerings. And the fire, here's what I want you to know, is verse 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. There's a continual burning, a continual effect, a continual possibility. If there was something put on that fire, it was going to burn. And my friends, that represents the sufficiency and the sacrifice of Jesus that is very present until this day. The fires of Calvary are still burning and still able, my friends, to do, to save you and I, just like it saved those 2,000 years ago. So it took them opportunity, efficiency, and adequacy. The effect of the cross is still the same. The fires of salvation are still very much aflame. I know that's oversimplified typology. That's first off. Praise God. Who meant to them? Chapter 7. Second offering silences. Chapter 7. Chapter 7. First one. Likewise, this is the law. The words he's talked about us. The offerings up to man, it says, likewise, similar is the law of the trespass offering. It's a trespass. So you got the law offering, you got the offering of salvation first. Come to that burnt offering and that brazen altar. They have to bring the sacrifice. We come to the brazen altar and the sacrifice has already been made. I like that song. It says, you know, in my hands, no price I bring, simply to the cross. We come empty-handed. They had to come with something in their hands. We come. It's something about that brazen altar. It had four corners. The initial brazen altar is about 4 foot high. And then had a little post stick, that little sticking of all four roots. It was literally, you can read in the Bible where people have picked for that altar and take hold of it. They call it the horns. They bowed down kings that done that. Kings that went down and bowed and held on to the horns, the altar. Not about altar. And I didn't let go. You know, God saved me. But what I got to give, God? No, no. You come empty handed. And you take the old ones, God. Success. Trespass. Man, you got trespassing signs in me. I've been revealed. Brother James, tap it up. LJ, where he used to live, he wrote up, right? How that's changed. I remember talking to them people up in those fields, worked out several years, all things, you know. But loving road, Lubbin Road. I've been on that road. I've been on that road for 45 years. I remember we used to have, listen, we used to have, people had to send me their checks sometimes to my mail. So I get this mail, a check in the mail to pay for the insurance, and it said, Kissimmee, Florida. Okay, so what does this mean? I said, oh, it says I'm supposed to kiss you, Kathy. I get you. Another one was Bethlehem, Georgia. Everybody went to that post office, everybody, and Christmas time and mailed all their letters from Bethlehem. Swamped the postmaster. Hey, they got trespassing signs everywhere nowadays. Well, get on my property. I just met a man last week that did a wiring job over in Easom Hills, over in Borden Springs near Easom Hills. And you know those places, some of them places, don't ever go over there. You know, these good old country people, they may make a little moonshine, may shoot at you if you get too close to the steel, but he wired the old post office over there. And they turned it into a duplex or something. Someone in Borden Springs, they turned it into a apartment thing, and it was about to fall down. The wire about to fall down. He wired that, building, and they found a big old hole underneath the post office, the old post office. They got whoever it was got down in there checking it out, and you know what it was? A moonshine still. It's where they make the moonshine under the post office. And so here's the thing: is everybody went to check their mail daily, hung around. Staggered out. Hosted. When I was a kid, you could just walk anywhere and hunt. North Georgia, those people told me over there, they said, we used to could walk through here coon hunting. Or, and they said, our possum hunting, y'all possum hunt over there, coon hunt, and come up on your neighbor, and they'd sit down and give you a cup of coffee, and you keep, see, we can't even cross. We can't get on other people. Trespassing means getting out of bounds. And in Christian life, sometimes you trespass. Trespass means stepping out of bounds. It means getting out of line with God. And there's a trespassing, law. And that's exactly what this is. Not only after you get saved. I mean, you get saved, brazen altar. You take hold of those horns of that brazen altar. You get down here at Calvary and you get saved. And in my hands, no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You can't buy it. You can't inherit it. You can't earn it. You just have to come empty-handed. And then you get saved. And you say, man, I used to be a sinner. And then a week or two later, you found out you still are a sinner. That's not, it's not funny, but in a way, I mean, you know, it's not funny at all to sin. I used to think, when I got in this church in 1971, when I got saved and all, I thought everybody in here was perfect. Except me. I mean, really, I ain't never thought I was perfect. I remember, something wouldn't be right with me and the Lord, you know. Something wouldn't be right. I mean, you know, I'm not going to confess to y'all. I'll confess to God. So I'm coming to church, say, well, I'm going to church, and I'm not going to get knocked out of church just because I've done something wrong. And I'm coming to church and try to repent and confess before I ever get here. And then I'm standing out here with all these men. I'm so guilty, I'm feeling God's going to strike me down. You know, I'm unworthy. I've trespassed. And you say, preacher, have you trespassed? Well, let me do what Jesus did. Jesus always, when he was asked a question, he asked a question back. Have you ever trespassed? So let's just realize, let's just go ahead and admit it. And I'd stand around there at their chick, and all them guys, they'd be standing around out there. Some of them be smoking. I didn't think nothing about it. I didn't think nothing about it. They smoking. I mean, I didn't think nothing about it. Because one of the preachers here carried around Lucky Stripes in his white shirt pocket right there. Somebody said, well, smoking sends you to hell. And O.B.R. Lakin said, it won't send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you've been there. So I'm thinking, I should have said, if I'd have been more of a mature Christian, I'd said, well, he's smoking, and what I've done, I'm not smoking. I thought everybody was perfect. I didn't know. I wasn't even concerned about people smoking or dipping or chewing, but running or dancing, but running with those people at two would have been another problem. But so anyway, and it didn't take long, chick, right? We won't get into details, but we realized everybody in this church wasn't perfect, right? Me and Chick go back a long way. And you girls, too. Y'all pray for Robert Croft. He's a very lonely man. Just pray the will of God for you, darling. As he says, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, likewise, this is the law of transparent. He was once holy. You know what that means? Because you've been unholy, you still got a place to get into holiness. That's right. My, you need to think about that. Now, don't go out there and test it. You won't have to make it up. You're going to test it whether you want to or not. But when you sin, you have a trespass on. After you've got trespass. But I'll tell you something else. In the book of Galatians, the Bible says, use not grace as a license for sin. Just because I can speak if I want to. I got a license. You know, God forgive you can get yourself killed too. You kill somebody else. All right, this is also reviewed in chapter 5, verse 1. The trespass offering. Verse number 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And if a soul sin, what? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have, he said, that you sin. John said, I'm writing these things that you don't need to be sinning. Therefore, he said, therefore, I write these things unto you. And therefore, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that's a lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He's a propitiation for our sins, that's the covering, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. If any man sin, and hear the voice of swearing, I don't understand all this, swearing, and is a witness whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his own iniquity. What? Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, see, they were under the law. If you touched a dead deer or a dead possum or a carcass of unclean cattle for the carcass of unclean creeping things, or if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of a man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled with all and be hid from him when he knoweth it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips, to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce on with an oath and be hid from him when he knoweth it, then he shall bear his iniquity. I just heard a little saying talking about sinning. Keep that verse in mind for when we go back to Hebrews 13. Keep that verse, his lips, just remember that. I just heard a little saying, I've never heard it before in all my life. Is everybody with me? Awake? Awake, O thou that sleepest. Hey, I heard this saying, loose lips. Does anybody know the rest of that? Sing shield. I've never heard that. That's so cool. I'm going to use that, and I'm going to try to practice that. I'm telling you, I've sunk a lot of ships. I've probably got the record of it. Look, verse 5, and it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. Just own up to it. I've seen a lot of people get saved a bunch of times. It's easy to get saved again. But it's hard if you've done a public sin to stand up here in front of this altar and say, I'm sorry, church, I've sinned against the church and God. It's easier to just come get saved again. But if you're really saved, you ain't going to be able to live with that. You're going to have to, if it's private sin, private confession. If it's public sin, public confession. If you confess. You know what the word confession means? I've used this illustration a million times. It means to open the hand. It's like a little kid. His mama's cooked some chocolate chip cookies. He's got it all over his face and on his hands, and he wasn't supposed to be into it. They hadn't got cooled down yet. I don't need them hot. Chocolate chip, oatmeal, raisin. He's got it all over his face. His mama comes in there. He's got some in his hands. You getting them? No, not me, Mom. No, it must have been my brother, Philip. He's got. So, what you got in your hands, Jeff? It's me. Sin. So confess that he had sinned that thing. He should wait. He confessed that song. Or his sin, what you had sinned. Here it is. I never noticed this. A female. What? I sort of felt sorry for all the males that bring a male without witness. Now they get to bring a female son. The whole world's involved male females. Friendship. See, you ever seen that? Y'all, I know y'all studied this adventure. Think y'all ever read that? Preacher, I done seen that. Bring a female. You done seen that? Be honest, y'all. You done read it? It's the first time I read the whole Bible before. That's on you. Let me read you. I done. It's a bloodshed. So many of that thought, but if they're not actually an underground conduit thing, that there's so much blood that shed could sacrifice if they had an underground thing down again. That's what I'm supposed to do. Their hearts are in it. It's like coming to church. Trespass. What? Everybody's like, keep this under your hat. Is that what that says? Let's look at that close. You know, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, he can enlighten his neighbor, and that which was delivered him to keep. Or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. Hey, look. Fellowship. Slipping these words out. This ain't too good of expository preaching. And I'm going to tell you what, if there's broken fellowship between a believer, my friend, you've trespassed. If I broke your blood, don't go to your friends and say, I'm going to tell you about the inside. You're going to look him in the face. You can watch on your head. Not over the phone. Facebook, that face balls. You ride the dead horse, huh? It's you, I could not do it. This is great. Talk about this. Like saying, on the confession, trespass, and look what happens. It's about God's five person. One. Verse 6, we shall bring this trespass. Lord, for sin which has sinned, big deal. Move on, put your hands, and the priest should make it to you. Church, you know what they're making. Okay. Verse 10. Say, I don't know if God will forgive me. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. You can get forgiveness. Speaks the change. Word picture if you're not bound. Till you are forgiven, you've got change of peace. I get that ball and check. But when you get forgiveness, you're free. This is bad thing. Confession. It's all somebody's got to do. Admit who they are and what they do. Verse 16 is the word forgive and again. Verse 18 is the word forgive and again. And in verse 19, let's read verse 19. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord.